Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic.
Have a great show.
This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And this is also a very live show, so any little thing that could go wrong can really kind of create a couple of ripples and or tidal waves when you're doing a real live show like this. And so one of the things that I have to tell you is that one of my disabilities is that when I went to Korea, for the Marine Corps, the Chinese literally were deliberately dumping metals into their stills and burning metal particulates so that those metal pollution would literally drop on us while we were out there. They were just, you know, that's how nice these folks are. And so anyway, as Marines, we never stopped PTing. So we went out and did our job as Marines. And, you know, as I was out there PTing, I definitely inhaled enough of this stuff that it caused a permanent problem with my sinuses to where I can get these nosebleeds. So sometimes it'll happen at the worst time, and two of the worst times possible in getting a nosebleed is while you're driving along on the freeway at breakneck speed, or when you're doing something live like this. So anyway, forgive me if I have a little distractions or what have you, but this show must go on. And this show is sponsored by, as you know, Reclaiming the Republicans, blah, blah, blah. But actually what I'm going to be doing, and I've already talked to the Constitution Club, this show is also aligned with and has an alliance with the Constitution Club. I believe eventually I'll be able to include the We the People Foundation, but I want to, you know, you never count your eggs before they hatch. So what we want to do is make sure we get with the founders or the leaders of said organizations so that we can actually give you those accurate alliances, because I do have endorsements, but I know an alliance is something that is completely different. Anyway, I guess I need to do a little groveling, especially now. There's nothing more humbling than you know, experiencing a good little nosebleed. But anywho, I need support. It's not about money for me, and it literally is just a little bit of your time, and you can contribute. You can actually, if you want to. There are a few people that are recognizing the opportunities that they have to become a leader in their state, a leader in their area, and maybe even an opportunity to move up to the state. But I want you to know that if you've got a computer, if you've got a phone, you can be a huge impact. There's just no doubt in my mind that it doesn't take much as long as you have the and you don't have to be a brilliant person. You don't even have to know code or anything like that. It is literally just a matter of putting forth a little bit of dedication, due diligence, and so forth, doing research, and you'll be surprised how dangerous you can be in helping this cause, because that's all it takes is a little bit of resourcefulness, time, and a little effort. So if you want to join and you want to help, by all means, you can always send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And so you can also actually, let me make this plug too. I would highly recommend you just go up and sign up for the Constitution Club. It's constitutionclub.ning.com. And so, oops, you know what? I haven't told anybody yet, but I was a little slow in opening up the phone line. So if you want to call in, the phone lines are now open, and the number is 215-867-8255. My bad. I'm a little distracted. I hope everybody understands that. So anyhow, let me give you some things to think about, because before I get into what I really want to dive into today, I want to give you something that you can ruminate on, something that you can think with intent, or what they say, cogitate. We do not have a taxation problem. The states, the city governments do not have a taxation problem. What we have is a spending problem. And in all honesty, everything can point back to the education system, because we have been indoctrinated into believing that we're obligated to helping. And actually, when you start helping and enabling, helping people with their bad behavior, all we're doing is enabling their bad behavior. There has to be consequences. And I had a great conversation this morning with a beautiful woman that I call my wife. And we were talking about, you know, how government tends to start stepping in and taking away the consequences of bad behavior. Well, that's okay. You smoke? That's all right. We created this new law with Obamacare that if you've got existing health problems, such as, you know, emphysema or any lung problems, it even doesn't matter. They are going to have to give you the needed healthcare that you need, regardless of the problems that you inflict upon yourself. Is that right? Well, why is it that we're doing those types of things and we don't bail everybody out from going bankrupt? Why don't we just bail everybody out from all of their problems? Well, that's not the purpose of government. The purpose of government is to protect lives and property. That's it. It's not to take property from others and give to people who live recklessly, or to make bad decisions. Government's job is very limited, and the framers did an excellent job in limiting government, period. And so, like I said, we really don't have a taxation problem. And I see people talking about, in this election coming up in different places, even in Wyoming, they're talking about, you know, the primary, or one of the primary issues that they're talking about is, you know, raising taxes. We don't want to see taxes raised, and the reason that government wants to raise taxes is because they need to spend more of your money to help those people who need that help to be unable to do bad things. Isn't that good? Isn't enabling bad behavior the role of government? As I said at the very beginning of this, the government's responsibility is to protect lives and property, not to enable bad behavior. So that's something you can think about. Another thing you can think about are platforms. Platforms are how we define the party. Platforms are what the parties are based on. It is what defines an organization. And so when one looks at a candidate and you look at the party next to their name, you should be able to look at that candidate's party's platform. And you should be able to say, okay, well, this person supports this. And I am telling you, and I am inviting you to go to the Democratic platform, the National Democratic platform. It is communism, period. It is actually more communistic and more immoral than even Marx and Engels dare write in their book. They probably would have been tarred and feathered and probably hung even in Germany when they wrote that book. So the problem and the reason I'm bringing this up is if you look at the Republican national platform, it looks better. But the problem is it identifies and it has issues and talks about stuff that are unconstitutional. Why is the national platform addressing education when it is unconstitutional? Why is any of the issues that are not enumerated in the Constitution a part of the national platform? The Republicans need to get it. They need to start understanding that their platform has to reflect what government is supposed to be and how it is currently modeled. It is one thing if the Republicans are seeking to amend the Constitution to give them these powers with health care, with education, with state lands, and those types of things. But I don't believe the Republican Party is going down that path. And I'm trying to get you to start thinking, to ruminate. Again, that word cogitate, think with intent. Look at these platforms and how the parties are defining themselves. Because as I'm starting to inject myself into the state parties, I am trying to get the state parties to change their platform to two separate platforms. The Republican Party at the state level has to have two separate platforms. At the national level, it needs to have one. And down at the county levels, it can have, if it wants to have two, it can, but it really only needs one for its county needs. And those county needs need to bubble up to the state to merge with all of the county needs. And then the state needs to basically extrapolate into a separate platform what it expects the federal, or I should say, the national party to be putting pressure on the federal government. And so what it should have in its platform is we need to make sure that the federal government is following and staying within the enumerated powers, and we remove it from all things it has no jurisdiction over. And by doing that, we actually start actually making the conversation real. It's that elephant in the room that everybody keeps walking around. We have to start articulating that the platforms which define the party, which define the candidate, those platforms absolutely need to be very, very clear. We cannot be ambiguous on this. Very clear. So moving on. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to be running right into a hard break. So I'm moving straight into this brick wall where you're going to hear some music in just a second. But I want to talk about alliances and what I basically did at the very beginning. Forgive me for not opening up the phone lines on time today. So if you want to dial in, again, it's 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP, T-O-P, TALK. Thank you so much, and I'll be right back after this. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so as I was just going to get into before I realized that I only had a couple seconds, I'm talking about building alliances. And that's why I mentioned the Constitution Club at the very beginning of the show. And I also want to build alliances unlike what everybody is familiar with before. this is a movement that is going to be unlike the Tea Party movement and unlike all of these other grassroots movements of people trying to be myopic about the oath and people being myopic about a very specific thing like abortion or immigration or like Act for America, which is myopic about Islam in America. This is a movement that is myopic as well, but it is myopic at the base level. We are a movement that is calling for compliance to the Constitution. The federal government is required to be compliant to the Constitution, and only the states have the authority and power to get them to become compliant. That's why we actually do have the solution. And that's why we're seeking to create alliances with all different types of organizations who support the Constitution, who love liberty, who are a part of those, if you want to call it the conservative, the right wing, the Republican, the little R Republican ideology, the ideology of full liberty. Now, some of these organizations that I've actually reached out to and have got all the way up to the top, actually, in some of these, like the John Birch Society. And I know that there's really good John Birchers out there that actually are very open-minded and so forth. But they are hesitating. But I'll just leave it at that. I've reached out. When people say, hey, you got to reach out to these guys. You got to try this. You got to, believe me, I'm trying. I've even reached out to the Eagle Forum, and I've taken a different approach with the Eagle Forum. I've reached out to presidents and so forth. I am reaching out to bigger organizations, and I believe that most all of these organizations are seeking for an end to end this tyranny that we're living under. And so this is the means to that end. If you understand the auditing principles of a contract, you understand that the Constitution is literally a compact of the states, for the states, by the states, that the states then have that authority to audit their said contract or compact. And so we're looking, and actually the reason I'm telling you this is because there's one of these organizations that is having a special meeting this weekend, and they're going to be talking about a lot of things. And I've asked and I've been praying, and I ask you to, you know, give this some things to think about, ponder, and even pray. If you are an inclined person to pray, give it some prayer, that people literally start considering and looking into with a prayerful eye and mind on Republic Review. Because I'm hoping that this organization actually brings this up as a matter of an issue. Because this organization is a very large organization that has a position against the Convention of States. And this is why I was talking about the Conventionites, anti-Conventionites yesterday, as I did. The reason why this is important is so that they actually have a tangible alternative that is actually going to solve the problem instead of wasting time and trying to consider some Band-Aid patch or a couple of extra words that a government that is ignoring every word already will just have to ignore a few more words. How dare we put them out and make them ignore more words? And that's the whole point. Is let's forget about the concept of the words and let's get them into compliance with those words instead of adding or changing the words themselves. What we have to do is focus, and that's why, you know, there is merit in having a myopic focus, literally, in getting compliance. And that's all. That is the one word mantra that I ask everybody to think about. Stop thinking about immigration. Stop thinking about Islam. Compliance to the Constitution will end our problems with every single one of these issues. Period. It's that simple. I don't believe, and you might be able to find some outlier issue, but I'm saying well over 95% of the problems that the states and we collectively as citizens of this great republic are dealing with literally are coming from the lack of compliance by both the federal government and the states. So let's get the federal government in compliance, and then we can get the states into compliance as well, if you understand my drift, right? So As we move forward a little bit, let me kind of give you a little bit. And I told you yesterday, and I've told you before, that there is going to be a line of accusers, and they're going to start coming out. It is about overwhelming you with, oh, there's got one of these has got to stick. One of these has got to be true. This is setting a very evil and pernicious precedent. And I'm telling you that if you start looking at this, this has the deep state deeply involved, and you have to learn to start looking past the smoke and ashes, or you're going to miss it. And one of the greatest things that I have found that just came out today is that the lawyers for Ms. Ford, the California prosecutor or professor accusing the Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh, of this sexually assaulting event, apparently it comes out that she has been working with the FBI, and they had an examination administered, and that examination was actually a polygraph examination. This happened a while ago. My friends, they're trying to actually, they're not trying to refute her, they're trying to help support her. That is how far this deep state, I'm telling you, this deep state is not just a few outliers. We are in an ideological war, and these people will do anything necessary, and they're deeply entrenched in almost every facet of government. There may be a few outliers, there may be a lot of outliers, but I'm telling you, there are a lot more bad players in our bureaucracy than you want to even acknowledge. I don't even want to acknowledge. I can't fathom that there's that many people that are willing to throw away our rule of law and surrender our liberty so that we can be subjugated. And so when you start looking at all of this information and that the fact that the FBI was already playing with this, how is it that the president didn't know long before they even really started interviewing and getting to this point with Kavanaugh? They already had all this information. How come this didn't come to the president? That's got to make you start scratching your head and going, huh, that's what looking past the smoke and ashes does. You really start actually seeing what's really going on behind the scenes, because you're going to start finding the fingerprint of the deep state in lots of things. We already found the deep state, fingerprints of the deep state down in that Florida shooting. I forget the name of the school, and forgive me for that. I'm bad with names. But we find that there is deep state fingerprints all over the place in all sorts of things. And it is not a coincidence. I mean, you can't make this crap up. What we're witnessing with the progressive or communist attack on a solid jurist like Kavanaugh is like how a parasite attacks its host to kill it. And what we're talking about, have you ever heard of the term misandry? Probably not. You probably have no idea. If I'm going to call you a misandrist, you probably don't even know what that means when I call you a misandrist. But our society has become a misandrist society. Now, if you look it up, misandry is the other word for a sexist, because you're very familiar with the term misogynist. And if you've noticed that our progressives have taken a full monopoly on the word misogynist and has created literally a misandry attack on our society by just calling us nothing but misogynists. Misandrists, which are these feminists that are going after men, and just because they're men, they're trying to literally change the paradigm and our culture by doing these things. And over the past decades, they've been very successful in feminizing the American male. It's called the metrosexual. I mean, I'm not even making this up. If you really start looking at the big picture, you're going, oh my God, we've been manipulated to getting to where we are today. Have you ever heard of the term manspreaders? Manspreaders is what men usually do when they sit down, they spread their legs. And now there's this gal, this Russian activist, that's going around and throwing bleach at the crotch of men because she's tired of how we spread our legs. Really? these are only signs of the symptoms, or these are only symptoms. And the big problem is the paradigm is really starting to show itself. And the paradigm is that we have a misandrist or a misandrist society. We are attacking anything male, anything man, and it has a very specific purpose of why they are doing this. So you've learned a new word today, misandry or misandrist, and I hope that you can start looking at how the patriarchal form of the family, the role of a man in a family, in a relationship, or what have you, has been nothing but under attack since the counterculture revolution. And how long did it take for Moses to change the culture of Israel? 40 years? Well, it's been well over 40 years, and our education system has been doing really well at changing our culture to become man-hating, white-hating, and all of these other things that actually, believe it or not, contributed to making America great. Well, I'm sorry for all the ranting, because I've ran out of time again. And so I will be back after a couple minutes. Believe me, I've got plenty more to come. And actually, I have in store for you some highlights from the Massachusetts ratification debate. So please stay tuned. I'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And so thank you for staying in tune. And actually, we're actually having a pretty good tune-in time. So I want to thank all of you who are tuning in. And those of you who are really concerned about, you know, my health, and because at the very beginning of the show, those who have just recently tuned in, I kind of had to confess I was because I have them all the time. I get these bloody noses from my time when I was in the Marine Corps, Korea, the metal particulates that China put into the air to basically infect us and to try to hurt us. So anyway, so it's a disability that I have, but it's a nightmare when you're driving down the freeway 80 some miles an hour and all of a sudden you have a good gusher coming out of your nose and blood everywhere. Anyway, I don't want to get into the gory details, but bottom line, I'm doing much better now. So I want, if you're fretting, please stop. I appreciate your prayers. Let me get back to what I was talking about. And when I am looking at this deep state, the involvement of the deep state, This is not a coincidence. And if one is looking for evidence of collusion, all you've got to do is look at the top of the food chain. And the top of the food chain, some people like to say, well, that's government. Well, actually, no, it's not. It is actually Soros. It is actually those billionaires and those who are in league with Soros, such as the Gates, Paul Allen, the Rockefellers. If you go look, and he has the names. I think I still have the PDF on reclaimingtherepublic.org of showing you all of the different names who are contributing to the open border society that Soros is actually spending billions and billions of dollars in trying to subvert America. These people are literally working to subvert America. And to just give you another great example of how they're all pitching in one way or another, directly or indirectly, Tom Steyer, the liberal billionaire, who is a huge crusader to try to impeach President Trump, is now pouring money into electing Andrew Gillum for governor for Florida. And Gillum is a communist. These guys are huge in trying to support the communist movement here in America. Paul Allen is paying for an initiative in Washington State to create a policy to strip people of their Second Amendment rights. And they are laser focused on veterans. If you look at what they're trying to do, they're trying to basically make it, if you've ever had PTSD, and that's why all veterans are quickly getting these ratings from the VA, from the military themselves. Oh, you got PTSD. And it's becoming the very common fad that everybody's got PTSD in the military. And guess what? If you've ever had PTSD, you'll never be able to own a firearm again. This is how they are stripping veterans of their ability to help defend America when we become under siege or when they try to make their move. I know this really reeks of conspiracy and crap, and I apologize, but I'm not making this up. If you start looking at how they're colluding and working together independently at the big picture, it all starts connecting. As I've been telling you over the past couple of weeks, I've been kind of focused on China. And I know I've shared this stuff that's going on with China regarding, you know, this social credit and how they're literally punishing and taking away the bad players and rewarding the good players. They're creating a manipulated society that is, you know, hey, everybody's got to promote communism and be happy and a part of the state. And, oh, well, that's okay because the state's in charge and I'll have another opportunity. If you think that this is an outlier, I want you to know, because they've been using facial recognition and biometrics to do all of this in China. As you know, they're doing all of this with biometrics. India's Supreme Court just upheld the legality of the country's controversial Aadhaar program, which is a program that maps all of India's population with biometrics. This is the world's largest biometric database. And China, by 2020, as I was telling you yesterday, will have even a more immense database. And in India, this contains an estimated 1.2 billion people and their biometrics. So what does all this mean? These two huge countries that probably rule the world in population together, both India and China. What does this mean? I've been in a lot of conversations over the years, and a lot of people have kind of speculated. So let me give you this little warning before I go down this path. So forgive me, but I'm going to warn you that I'm going to give you some of my analysis. And this is a religious analysis, because there's lots of people that love having these conversations at the water cooler, you know, fellow Christians or what have you, on the mark of the beast and all of this. And this is my take on how governments have settled on biometrics and why. I want you to, this is my take on this. What is the mark of man? They say, they talk about the mathematics, 666 and all of that. But what is the mark of man? Well, we're all born with it. We're all born with a unique identifier, which are fingerprints, eye retinas. I mean, our body is filled with all sorts of unique signatures. facial recognition. Once you map somebody's face, that is it. There is nothing more that they need to do because your face is a snowflake. It is a unique identifier, just like a, what do they call that in databases, that you have a unique identifier? Anyway, that's what it is. It's a unique identifier. And so bottom line is people are out there saying, hey, don't let them put a chip in you. They're going to put a chip in your forehead or in your hand. I am here to tell you that they're not going to do that. They get you to think that, and then they come along and go, all you've got to do is register your biometric signature with us. Register it with the beast, because then by doing so, you will then be able to survive and do everything you need to do. Don't worry, we're not going to put a mark on you. And that, to me, my friends, is the huge deception that I truly believe that we're all getting. That's why people are getting all geared up, and some businesses are implanting chips, RFID chips, so they can track you. Look at what they did in China with this Project Dragonfly. And with this social credit thing, and with this Project Maven, I've told you all about these things. And even members of Google, executives and employees are walking out because they say these are huge human rights violations. There are people in Google that actually have conscience. And as I told you yesterday, at the top level, Google doesn't care because it supports the means. It is going to get them to the end that the means will take them to. And that is getting everybody to comply to what they believe is best. It is called compulsion. Remember that scale of liberty? Go to the far end of the black side of that. That is where you have no choice. You will be compelled. And the other side of that is full liberty, where you have free agency and the ability to choose for yourself to be compassionate or not, or what have you. I can tell you there is a reason why these little hints are all coming out at the same time. And it is time to give you a wake-up call. It is time to start really looking at what we need to do. I've been telling you we have 2 to 5 years. I am not a prophet. I am an analyst. I've spent 30-some years in the intelligence community as an analyst. I can tell you that when you look at, and I've been trained to look at big pictures and tell me what's going on here. I am telling you that we do not have a lot of time, and I'm hoping that you can get incentivized for your own sake, for your posterity's sake, to start getting involved. Join the Constitution Club. Call me. Get involved. Again, we need to look beyond the fake smoke and ash, and if not, we're going to miss that. Well, at least, because I believe everybody going down this path of registering their biometrics with the government, they're going to go, well, at least I'm not accepting a mark. Really? No, you're registering your mark to do business. And that is the real dangerous thing. And it all came very innocently. And I find that really interesting. So I've got 2 minutes left of this segment, and then I got more time. So let me dive into the Massachusetts highlights that I have for you, or some citations out of the Massachusetts debates. These are the ratification debates. Why are the ratification debates important? Because this is where the stakeholders, the states, the people of the states, elected delegates to go and discuss and actually negotiate what everything meant in this new compact called the Constitution, so that they could define it and clarify so that all people would understand the limitations and, you know, what everything meant regarding, and every line was read through. And so as I read these words, are the words by our founders in, or our framers in our founding documents that I'm going to cite today, are these the words of deceit? Or are the words that we have been taught over the years and decades from our progressive education system, colleges, professors, lawyers, politicians, bureaucrats, are those the words of deceit? I will let you answer that question. Now, this first citation is from General Brooks of Lincoln. And he clearly states, it was therefore impossible that the state's government could be annihilated by the general government. And he said strongly, it strongly implied that the part of the section under debate which Congress had power to exercise exclusive jurisdiction over the federal town, that they shall have no other place than the District of Columbia of jurisdiction. And so here in Massachusetts, they were clearly stating that whenever Congress created legislation, it only affected the District of Columbia. The only time that Congress would be able to do an act or a law that would affect the Republic would be through an amendment. And here it comes right out of the Massachusetts debates. Well, as you can tell, I'm at that point. And so I apologize, but we've got to give our supporters their due. So please stay tuned, and I will be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. I got to tell you, I am constantly amazed at how many phone calls I get while I'm actually on air. But right at the beginning, this always happens right at the beginning of my going on break. And so I'm just literally amazed at the opportunity I have with some of these people being connected, because the person that just called was John Rowland. He actually is the founder of the Constitution Society. And so I love the fact that, you know, he called me right at that window so I could pick it up and actually get back with him. So I'll be talking to him a little bit later. But I forgive me, but I've got another caller that's called in, and I'm going to say this is Robert Brentrend, if I got it right, please. Is that right, Robert?
Well, it was fairly close. It's Bertrand.
Bertrand, I'm sorry. Forgive me.
You're good.
It's well known. I'm really bad with names, and I don't mean to be that bad. But anyway, go ahead. What's up?
Well, don't worry about that, because the only kids who ever pronounced my name correctly were kids in Haiti. So
okay.
I run a chariot initiative in Southern Illinois, probably one of the most anti-gun states in the union.
Yes, absolutely.
And one of the things that I do is I find women who live in high crime neighborhoods, and I raise money to arm and train them. So far, I've bought 5 shotguns for 5 women, and I have a training class coming up in October. And basically what I'm doing is I'm just trying to raise funds and support for what I'm trying to do here.
And so that's interesting. And that's actually a very noble thing that you're doing. And I know it's kind of a tight niche right there in Illinois, but it sounds like you are really at least empowering people for, one, defending themselves, defending their lives, and defending their property. And so do you have a question, or you just wanted to talk about what you were doing in Illinois?
Well, if you're interested in talking about it, I'd love to talk about it more, because, I mean, some of these women, they come to me and they tell me their stories, you know, a lot of older women. One of the first guns we gave away was to a woman named Patty,
right,
who had lost her husband a couple of years ago, and she lives all by herself on a big farm, and, you know, it's not just, you know, people that she has to be afraid of. You know, there's also wild animals.
Sure, sure. And so I think you have a Facebook page. Is that correct?
Yes. The page that we run is the Armed Citizen Project.
Armed,
it's actually a program that – I'm sorry, Armed Citizen Project.
Yeah, I got that, yeah.
Kyle Copeland from a couple of years ago actually made a big splash, you know, got on CNN a couple of times, and he was running the program out of Houston. And my website is help50.org. And
H-E-L-P.
I mean, if anybody's interested in it.
H-E-L-P.
Correct. H-E-L-P.
Okay. All right. All right.
50.org.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. You were able to call in and get a plug. And one question I have is, how are you listening to this? Over the air or streaming?
I'm listening to it streaming online.
Okay. So you're
through
Alexa or what?
The Red State Talk Radio.
Yeah, Red State. So you're actually connecting with Red State Talk Radio directly. Okay, great. I'm going to start asking people when they call, so no harm, no foul. It doesn't really matter. It's just I'm kind of interested in the mechanisms of how people are listening to the show. And so welcome aboard. Thanks for calling. And there you go. You got your plug in. How's that?
Very good. Thank you, sir.
Hey, take care. Bye now. Okay, so folks, as I was just going to get into, I mentioned this before, that the Massachusetts ratification debates, the majority of the people were either military, like the former General Brooks, who just, you know, spoke, or this quotation I got. This next one is a reverend, and there was a lot of reverends. And so this is Mr. Stillman, or Reverend Stillman, and he talks about the powers of Congress. And he says, state, quote, "The powers that are granted to Congress by this instrument are great and extensive, but, sir, they are defined and limited, and in my judgment sufficiently checked, which I shall prove before I sit down. These powers have been the subject of long, ingenious debate, but the arguments that have been made use of against delegating these powers to the general government prove too much being applicable to all delegated powers. I mean the possible abuse of it. The very term government implies a supreme controlling power somewhere, a power to coerce whenever coercion shall be necessary, of which necessity government must be the judge. This is admitted. If so, the power may be abused. Every gentleman must confess that we cannot give a power to do good, but it may be abused to do evil. If a merchant commits the care of a ship and cargo of the master, he must dispose of both and appropriate the money to his own use. If we raise a body of men and put arms in their hands for our defense, they may turn them against us and destroy us. All of these things prove, however, that in order to guard as much as possible against the abuse of those powers we delegate to government, there ought to be sufficient checks on them. Every precaution should be used to secure the liberties of the people, on the one hand and not render the government inefficient on the other. I believe, sir, such security is provided in this Constitution. If not, no consideration shall induce me to give my voice in its favor. But the people are secured by the following circumstances. And then he starts listing them. First, all the offices in Congress are elective, not hereditary. The president and the senators are to be chosen by the interposition of legislatures of the several states. In other words, again, he points out the president and the senators are to be chosen by the interposition of the legislatures of the several states, not by the populace or the people. Who are the representatives and the guardians of the people at that state, whose honor and interest will lead them in all human probability to have good men placed in government? Two, or his second point, the representatives in Congress are to be chosen every second year by the people of the several states. Consequently, it lies with the people themselves to say who shall represent them. It will then be their own fault if they do not choose the best men in the Commonwealth who are in Congress then. They are ourselves, the men of our own choice, if whom we can confide, those or whose interest is inseparably connected with our own. Why is it then the gentlemen speak of Congress in some foreign body as to set of men who will seek every opportunity to enslave us? Such insinuations are repugnant to the spirit of the Constitution. Now let me stop and editorialize here. I think this is really important, that that was the system that they created with the current, with the existing checks and balances where the states were overseers of the Constitution. You got to remember, in 1798, when John Adams violated the Constitution, Thomas Jefferson and James Madison arose, and I've read you the Kentucky and Virginia ratification debates. The states interposed and said, you cannot do this. Even though they weren't successful, and even though that is the exact same process that Republic Review and the audit will actually rely upon, I am telling you that the outcome of their actions literally changed the course of America, because the Federalists who were encamped and instilled in both the states as well as the federal government were slowly eradicated. There was a huge, I don't want to say it was a landslide, because at the national level, it came down to like 80-some votes. It took a long time to seat Thomas Jefferson and unplace John Adams. And that was a huge upset. The Federalists took it on the chin at that point. And I am telling you that they were successful in changing the paradigm. And I've said this several times before. If you look at what ended up happening from this one usurpation of power that the federal government tried to, and what Madison at the state level and Jefferson at the Kentucky and Virginia state levels, these two states stood up as David against Goliath, and they championed the Constitution. They championed this whole paradigm of, you know, you cannot do anything you want to do. You have to stay within the boundaries and the framework of that Constitution. And they demanded compliance. And so my whole point here, because I don't have enough time to get into the rest of the citation, so I'm going to cover this, because this is a nice long one. I will probably jump straight into this, if not tomorrow, definitely on Friday, because I'm going to have Mitchell Nicholas Gerber on, who from the live organ harvesting campaign, or trying to stop the live organ harvesting in China. So we're going to be doing a revisit with him so that he can kind of give me an up-to-date kind of notification and status on what he's doing, what's up next, and so forth. Because it's very important that we start looking around these, you know, looking around the curtain and seeing what Oz is doing, especially in, I will call it the test bed of, if you want to call it the New World Order, if you want to call it this Old World Order, I'm going to tell you, it is the evil World Order. And so we will be back tomorrow. God bless. I'm G.R. Mobley. I am Reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help. So we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you so much. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.